Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, January 25th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, Transform Zimbabwe, a new political party that has been very visible in the last few months, says it will be participating in some of this year's by-elections.
We are going to contest in Mount Darren West. We are going to contest in Chirumandu, Zimbabwe, as well as Chipinge. There's a council election in Chipinge, which we are also fielding a candidate.
The government is encouraging dairy farmers to vaccinate their cattle against lump skin disease, which is common during the rainy season.
The benefit was like the people could sell the produce from the garden and thereby earn money to buy their own commodities, like the day-to-day basic needs.
Some Chipinge residents are castigating cross-party politics for leading to the shutdown of a community garden that was bringing a livelihood to the locals. And as usual, we have the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. Transform Zimbabwe, a new political party that has been very visible in the last few months, says it will be participating in some of this year's by-elections. The party says it met last week and came up with the decision despite other opposition political parties saying they are awaiting a level playing field to participate in some of these elections. Jacob Ngarivume of Transform Zimbabwe tells Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri more.
We are going to contest in Mount Darren West. We are going to contest in Chirumandu, Zimbabwe, as well as Chipinge. There's a council election in Chipinge, which we are also fielding a candidate. So these are the three areas that we are going to field candidates.
Some opposition parties in the country have already announced that they will not take part in these by-elections because the playing field is not leveled. Are you not also worried about these same issues?
Transform Zimbabwe was formed when in fact, and we very well know that the playing field is not even. And as a political party, we resolved that we would take actions, we would take steps to make sure that we push for the leveling of the playing field. But we also are aware that, you know, our party was formed amid the crisis in this country. And so it is our responsibility as a citizenry and also as a political party to then make sure that we do whatever it takes to win power amidst all these challenges. Then when we have the power, then certain things we can change. Talking of fellow opposition parties in this country, we had an opportunity during the time of the GPA to make sure that the opposition political parties would not contest in the elections when certain things were not done. We had the support of SADC, we had the support of the whole nation, the opposition movement in this country. But what happened? Nothing was done. They participated without the voters' role. They participated without making sure that certain benchmarks were met. And then they disregarded everybody's advice and participated in those elections. So now for us to say, okay, we will not participate in any further elections until they are done. After the 2013 elections, we feel it's unfortunate. And in any case, we also know that those same opposition political parties, when there is a seat that falls vacant in areas they feel strongly they can win, we know they will contest. So at the moment, we might not take them quite serious, that they will not contest.
That was Jacob Ngarivume of Transform Zimbabwe speaking to Studio 7's reporter Jonga Kandemiri. The government is encouraging dairy farmers to vaccinate their cattle against lump skin disease, which is common during the rainy season. Deputy Agricultural Minister responsible for livestock, Paddy Janda, says the government is also encouraging farmers to import more heifers to boost the national herd and milk production. Dairy Board Zimbabwe announced it imported 1,000 heifers recently to boost milk production. Deputy Agricultural Responsible for Livestock, Paddy Janda, tells us more.
The facility has, the government has facilitated farmers who
has imbibed on importation of dairy heifers in order to boost our meat production and reduce our imports of milk. So it has been a program which has been there, and farmers have been doing it, and we continue to encourage farmers, particularly when also we bring in new genetics into the country. It is something that we have always encouraged the government.
Which countries is Zimbabwe favoring when it comes to the importation of dairy cows?
We don't favor any. Matter of fact, what we do is that whenever these cows or heifers are being imported, there are certainly regulatory requirements that need to be met, and an inspection need be done by our vets. As long as they meet the conditions of our vets, then farmers can import heifers from wherever they want to import. More so, even the importation of semen, we encourage that the people can import semen as well as the United States to improve our genetics.
And also, we understand that there's an outbreak of lamb skin disease. How serious is it?
Lamb skin disease is one of the diseases that farmers are expected to vaccinate on an annual basis. And basically, lamb skin disease is associated with whenever in the summer, whenever there's a bit of some rain, and as we get some outbreaks of lamb skin disease. But we encourage farmers to vaccinate against the lamb skin disease when it comes to the rain season. Like how we encourage other farmers to vaccinate other diseases on an annual basis should be part of their annual management program to vaccinate lamb skin disease.
That was the Deputy Agricultural Minister responsible for livestock, Paddy Janda. In Rural Voices, we hear from some of our listeners in Chipinge who are castigating cross-party politics for leading to the shutdown of a community garden that was bringing a livelihood to the locals.
My name is Cynthia Gwenzi. I live in Chipinge in Musikawan constituency in Manjere, and that is found in Ward 22.
Tell us, how do you spend your day, and the women around that constituency, what do they do day to day?
They're into crop farming, but because of poor rainfall, they are finding life very difficult. For example, they used to have a constitutional garden, but it's a constitutional garden that they were provided by non-governmental organizations. But the fact now is the garden is no longer producing anything since they were quarrels and the choose to close up the garden. There were political quarrels or political misunderstandings due to who were actually situating themselves according to their political divide.
Which political parties were actually feuding over this garden, and when was it closed?
The 12 ZANU-PF officials and those from the MDC officials. The garden was actually closed in last year, October. Since then, there hasn't been any production. They've tried to put the chips and the community itself to try and solve the problem, but even up until now, no one has stand up and solve the problem.
What benefit was the garden bringing to the people of Chipinge?
The benefit was like the people could sell the produce from the garden and thereby earn money to buy their own commodities, like the day-to-day basic needs.
Was the community able to take up the matter to the chiefs, and what was their response?
Yeah, the matter was taken to the chiefs, and the chiefs actually failed to reach a consensus with the leaders.
And as you move forward, what do you think is the remedy? How can some of these disputes that are now impacting on the community be solved?
So what is actually needed? I think the problem now is the people must actually be, the community must like create certain platforms whereby they teach people on certain matters, especially that of community development, whereby they plan to teach people and that politics is actually divisive, and if the community to develop, they should be come together and work together as a community so as to reach goals.
What about the local member of parliament? Has he been to the area to perhaps try and solve this dispute?
The problem now is the local MPs, since they were voted in power, we never send them, or they've even come back to the people. Even the promises they've made to the people, they never fulfilled anything. It's actually a problem.
And you were talking about the role of the chiefs in the area, that you as a young woman would like to see maybe some of these parliamentarians coming in to educate the chiefs on the constitution and other matters. Tell us a little bit about that.
I think it's actually good for the chiefs to be given awareness and so that they can be able to shed light to the villagers wherever they go wrong. Because, you know, if the people or if the chief doesn't, aren't aware of the constitution itself, it always be the branch of the villagers. Since the villagers or the villagers themselves will always be abused, since they wouldn't know what's good for them and what is bad.
That was Studio 7 listener Cynthia Gwenzi in Chipinge. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tsatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by Mishek Gondo, who is the director of the National Association of Youth Organizations. Mishek, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
What are some of the key things that you are seeing that are happening for young people within the country that, of course, should be dealt with immediately?
Yeah, one of the fundamental things that needs to be tackled is the issue of definitely youth unemployment. Looking at the current situation that we have in Zimbabwe, where young people are finishing their colleges, they are finishing their school, but the opportunities that are available for them to work, there's no adequate opportunities for them to work.
What kind of programming are you partaking in order to capacitate young people within your organization?
One of the programs that we are doing is this issue of entrepreneurship program, whereby we are capacitating young people to be able to respond to these economic issues that I was alluding to. In this program, there's issue of capacity building, whereby we train young people, give them skills so that they will respond to various challenges. And also they will be able to start income-generating projects. As you know that in Zimbabwe, there are some opportunities whereby young people can be able to do things for themselves, market their products. And in agriculture, we're also in agro-based economy whereby young people need to be capacitated to take farming as a business. For example, I can give an example of a one solid program where we are doing with young farmers, whereby they are given skills and also they are oriented to take farming as a business.
How is the landscape shifting in that respect? You're talking about young people who are able to start doing money-making projects. Are people now not focused on maybe the conventional careers, that is going to university or college to be, let's say, a doctor, maybe a lawyer? Are they now embarking on programs that will help them cultivate these money-making projects?
I think this issue can look at as take a coin status, whereby in terms of our education, young people, those who have got opportunities, they are taking the career of taking those entrepreneurship skills so that they can sustain for their education. Remember, in Zimbabwe right now, education is the privilege of the elite. It's too exorbitant. And the young people are not able to cater for this education unless maybe you are supported. And those mechanisms that were there to support young people that are learning. So the only opportunities that is there for young people is to take the entrepreneurship route to sustain for themselves, but at the same time, furthering their education.
Some people would think that looking at the economic conditions in Zimbabwe, that young people would say, okay, I'm not really worried about going to school. I'd rather just find a way to make money. But a lot of Zimbabwean people still maintain that education as number one. Why is that the case?
That's the thing also that we have as an organization whereby we are educating young people to say that first of all, they have to focus on their education, and education provides opportunities for them. And apart from this economy being a difficult economy that we are facing, it's just a phase that is going to end. And young people still need to be reminded of taking their education seriously and also pursuing other technical directions.
And how much has that move for some people to go to technical colleges, how has it assisted them in making do?
Yeah, that is another option. But what I was saying, that even for those technical colleges, again, if you find the charges that are being charged by the government, they are still exorbitant. But it's another option whereby young people, they can be trained in technical colleges, vocational training centers, for example, in Zimbabwe. But those vocational training centers, again, they need to be resuscitated so that young people, without having the opportunity to go to universities, they can be trained in various like motor mechanics, dressmaking, so that they will be able to take care of themselves.
What's your message to those who might be saying to themselves, I'm not sure what I can do next, who might be feeling stuck?
My message to the young people in Zimbabwe is, yes, currently we are facing challenges that we are facing, but as a people together, as young people, we need to be determined. Only way forward is to move forward. And if we are not going to take action as young people, if we are not going to transform ourselves as young people, no one will.
Amishek, I want to thank you so much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you very much.
That was Mishek Gondo, director of the National Association of Youth Organizations, speaking with me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo. Make sure you join me next week.
This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940, and 15455 shortwave frequencies, and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Of the estimated 35.3 million people living with HIV/AIDS, some 3.2 million are children under the age of 15. Most of them, about 91%, live in sub-Saharan Africa. In 9 out of 10 cases, these children were infected during pregnancy, childbirth, or through breastfeeding. At birth, a baby's immune system is not fully developed. In a healthy child, it fully develops by about 6 months, but up to that point, the infant's immunity is boosted by antibodies transferred from the mother through breast milk. When mothers with HIV receive the proper medications, they can safely breastfeed their infants. However, when HIV-infected mothers do not receive anti-HIV medicines, their infants are at risk of becoming infected. Children with HIV infection often get sick. They have a difficult time fighting off common childhood maladies such as ear and sinus infections, pneumonias, urinary tract infections, intestinal illness, skin disease, and meningitis. In developing countries in particular, tuberculosis, diarrhea, and respiratory illnesses are common in HIV-positive children. If an HIV-positive child does not receive antiretroviral treatment, a cycle of illness may set in and further undermine the child's health. 80% of children infected with HIV at birth or in infancy die before their 5th birthday. It is therefore important to begin treating HIV-positive children with antiretroviral drugs as soon as possible. If taken every day, proper medication can drastically reduce the concentration of HIV in the bloodstream, thereby slowing the progression of the disease. But sadly, only 24% of HIV-infected children have access to antiretroviral drugs. That is why the United States, through the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, in partnership with the Children's Investment Fund Foundation, launched the Accelerating Children's HIV/AIDS Treatment, or ACT, initiative. This two-year, $200 million program aims to double the number of children receiving antiretroviral treatment. Through this initiative, some 300,000 additional children living in Cameroon, Democratic Republic of Congo, Kenya, Lesotho, Malawi, Mozambique, Tanzania, Zambia, and Zimbabwe will get a better chance to grow to adulthood and live full, healthy lives. Healthy children who can pursue their dreams are Africa's future. They will grow economies, create jobs, and contribute to their families and communities for decades to come.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
That there was the beautiful music of Toki Vibes with Handi Chiki. bringing our Sunday evening bulletin to a close, but now to recap on today's top stories. Transform Zimbabwe, a new political party that has been very visible in the past few months, says it will be participating in some of this year's by-elections. And some Chipinge residents are castigating cross-party politics for leading to the shutdown of a community garden that was bringing a livelihood to the locals. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, January 25th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night and a great week ahead.